types of seeds. They don't have any particular form or shape to them that is attractive. They're not particularly colorful. They're fairly simple. Nothing to really attract us to them. They're small and they're insignificant within themselves. And even when you consider eating seeds, which some people will just consume certain types of seeds if they're edible, even that doesn't really fill us up. So a seed by itself really doesn't have a lot of significance. However, it is everything because contained within it is an explosion of potential. An explosion of potential. We can't possibly imagine God, in his foreknowledge, designing a world where he would begin with things like that we call seeds. And yet it's within that seed that he's put an explosion of potential, and therefore making them extremely significant. George Washington Carver, a man that this past century, a black man who grew up poor, is stricken with poverty most of his life, but his childhood and his teenage years. George Washington Carver happened to be blessed with a great intellect. And he began to explore all kinds of things that around him, and also developed and acquired this wonderful faith in God. At one point, because of his great intellect, he cried out to God and said, "God, show me the secrets of the universe." And to that, God said to him, "Well, I can't do that, but I can show you the secret of the peanut." And with that peanut, he began to explore and study from a scientific basis how the peanut is formed, how it's shaped, how it's and the ingredients in it, especially the oils that come from peanuts, and then all the medicinal benefits that we get from the peanut. And he went on to develop something like 110 different uses for the peanut, and different as an ingredient as well as the form itself, and just really demonstrated that God begins things very, very small, and there's nothing insignificant to him. We look at scripture, or for instance, if you look at seeds like this, a handful of seeds seem rather insignificant. They don't look any particular form. But you can imagine this becomes that. Have we forgotten the mystery of how that how that happens every day, and yet we don't stop to really consider? How does that little seed become that huge pumpkin or squash? How about this one? That's like a seed. How does that become like that? If you showed somebody an egg and said one day it'll become a chicken, they would look at you like you're crazy if they didn't actually know that whole process and had been taught or been born on a farm where they saw it all the time. How that becomes that. And this here, the wonder of it all, the human egg. Now, here's the big question of the day, folks. How does this become this? I could not get over that. I couldn't get past. I took so long preparing because I just couldn't figure that out. How does that egg become that man? If you want, I wish Kenny was here today, or Anita, because Kenny is always so well dressed, as you can tell on this photo. He's such a manicurist of the apparel. You know, he always is so, and you can tell from his egg. He submitted this picture to me that he's also sort of wearing designer colors in the womb because they kind of match there. I got. Well, we'll have to show him on another time. When we look at the story that Jesus told about the mustard tree, he says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches." There's something that very, very insignificant becomes something wonderful. Look how small those seeds are. They're just minute. And yet, look at the field that grows a mustard crop. Phenomenal. God has plans for small things. When you look at the Genesis account of God's creation, we run into this wonderful verse. Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds. And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. You notice that God not only created seed to do what they do in their various forms and their purposes, but He created the seed to develop seeds. So a seed becomes a multitude of seeds, which then disperse and become seeds that grow up into other plants, which create more seeds. That whole process is God's plan of multiplication. There's this forward momentum in the seed, right in their DNA, that they're not going to remain one seed, even if they produce whatever their destiny or their purpose is. That purpose is going to replicate those seeds all over again. This wonderful thing of reproduction. So there's a forward momentum. A seed is generally to bear fruit or vegetables for food. Thank God he thought of us in that whole creation of the seed. To bear wood and foliage for practical and aesthetic reasons, so we have a house to live in. To bear edible grains or berries for animal consumption, and to reproduce itself through additional seed that it bears. That wonderful multiplication principle that God created. Now, this statement from J. Jeremiah is wonderful. The fruit is the result of the seed. The end is implicit in the beginning. The infinitely great is already active in the infinitely small. In the present, and indeed in secret, the event is already in motion. You might have to think about that a little bit. The end is implicit in the beginning. It's already there. In those seeds that we think are insignificant, the end result is already there. It's just waiting to explode and do its thing. The infinitely great is already active in the infinitely small, in the present, in the deed, in secret. The event is already in motion. Well, planting a seed is like planting a church. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul writes, when you sow, and now he's talking about the resurrection here, but it's still very fitting for the context here. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or something else. But God gives it a body as He has determined, and to each kind of seed He gives it to its own body. At the beginning stage of any seed, as we mentioned, it appears very small and unimpressive. It doesn't really, as if we think about it in terms of a church plant or a church seed, it doesn't really attract people initially because it's still just a seed. It appears insignificant in comparison to other churches because other churches have multiple ministries in full bloom. But a church plant is just a seed, just beginning. But as Jeremiah stated, the end is implicit in the beginning. The infinitely great is already active. The event is already in motion. That as a church plant begins, all the potential that is going to be there is going to begin right there. And as it starts to grow, it's going to develop and acquire more and more of that to become what it will be. Which leads me to think about the motto that this church took on at the very beginning, faith in motion. Because Jeremiah had mentioned, indeed in secret, the event is already in motion. Well, faith in motion is the motto of this church. And this is the beginning. This is how it started, with those three words, that we would not just be a church that celebrated our faith, But it would be a faith that is forward-looking, a potential faith, a seed faith that is looking to explode and looking to multiply. It wouldn't be stable. It would be looking to multiply. And faith in motion is those simple three words that encapsulated all that we were intended to be here at Peninsula Mission Community Church, a church that was moving forward, had forward motion. Well, just as that seed was planted, it seems so fitting that the mission of PMCC was condensed into that simple statement, faith in motion. But to bring a few highlights of what planting that seed of PMCC was like at its inception 10 years ago, I've asked Gail Robinson to come and just to share a few memories of what that early stages were like, because Gail was here from the beginning, and Gail has served on our leadership team all these years with just a few little breaks that she's taken. Been very faithful as a servant, and we're so welcome to have her here this morning.
Beat me to 5 minutes. So Travis was a pastor of Sanderson Bible Fellowship for 15 years and has been a pastor at Peninsula Mission for 10 years. And I came into that path when I went to Sanderson Bible Fellowship as a mother of two preteen girls, trying to do my best and trying to find a church where they would want to learn more and grow in faith. And this was wonderful. And they loved the Sunday school. It was great. When they left for Sunday school, I would sit all by myself, like there would be empty seats. It was fine. I was just so glad that they were finding a church home. It was great. Didn't really know a lot of people. It was a big church, but I didn't really know too many people. But it was great, and I grew under Travis's leadership, and it was all good. And one day, Travis approached me, and he said, "You know, I've got this idea. I'd like to do this dinner for eight thing, and I'd like you to get up and introduce it and organize this." And I said, "Well, why would you ask me? I'm not part of the leadership. I'm not the in kind of people there. I don't even know people here." And he said, "And that's my point. We need to know each other." And I thought, wow, that's true. We need Dinner for Eight to actually become a real one unto another ministry. And so I did it. So I stood up in front of the whole church. In those days, I was wearing a long skirt that I thought was pretty cool. I was shaking like a leaf so bad my whole skirt shook, and there wasn't a person who didn't know it. And that started a bit of a public speaking career for me. I just kept talking. My voice was the only part of me that could still work without shaking. And it was just great, and we grew, and we became people that knew each other, and it became more meaningful. And sadly, as happens to many churches, there was a church split, and it was devastating. It was painful. It was wrong, but it happened. And out of that, the current leadership of the church required that Travis leave, and there were many of us who just simply couldn't support that kind of leadership and left also. So, as you can see, I'm not using my notes so far. So I went for about a year without going to church. I thought, what do you do? Where do you go from here? I don't know. And then one day, I just knew that it was time to go back to church, that I had to try. And I went to another church. And Annabelle, you know this because you were there that day. And I just sat there in the church and pretty much cried the whole service. And I realized I was just finally grieving all that had been lost. And it was just so sad. But out of that, a few of us who had been there decided to get together and try some sort of Bible study, and it included Travis and Dixie and pretty much everyone you see here, Larry and Barb came later, and we just thought, well, what if we just start a Bible study? What if we just try this? And we thought, let's look for a place to have it. And we found Seventh-day Adventist Church, and we thought, well, they worship Saturday nights, Sunday, it's free. So we got together the money. I don't remember exactly how we did it. And we came into this perfectly ready for us church and thought, we'll just do this for 5 weeks. And if that's all that happens and nobody comes, then it was a 5-week Bible study. If people come, then maybe it'll be a church plant. And I don't often have this happen to me, but I remember vividly driving down the Pappy Highway, listening to Praise 106.5, and a song came on by the Newsboys. And it was the song that I'll just never forget. And as we call on your name, will you meet us here? God of mercy and grace, we have come to this place to worship you. And I just had this picture. I remember where I was in the Pat Bay, crying, driving, and just this building with no roof and just people worshiping. And I got it. If we sit here and God's not here, that's pointless. If we sit here as nine people, it's as important to God as if there was 299. He doesn't care how many. He cares, are you hungry? Do you want to learn? We are always going to be learning. Up until the day I go to heaven, I will be learning. And so that was just, I really got it. Is God going to meet us here? We need to invite him. And if he doesn't meet us here, then we're not on the right track. So as you can see that we did, people came. Travis preached and made it so relevant, as he always does. And people were inspired. And I have grown in my faith, in my confidence as a person. I was a pretty insecure mom of two, not sure if I'd make it, if they'd make it, and what was my point anyway, and had I just failed and not keeping a marriage together. And I grew into this woman who applied everything that happened here into my business. I started Think Local First, which was growing, bringing 180 businesses together to spread the message of how important it is to think local, that one of us couldn't do on our own, but together we really could, and we could encourage each other. Much as we do in this church, we encourage each other. And I learned through Travis that about spiritual gifts, and that mine is a gift of encouragement, and it's what brings me the greatest joy. And so we give back to one charity, and we make a real difference in that one charity, Power to Be Adventure Therapy. And much as this church, we give back. We've never really had much more than we need, but we've always had what we need. And this little tiny church, Peninsula Mission Community Church, has really changed lives. And I think what I see in this church is that God has big plans, because he is front-loading this church. Take a look around. We're a small growing group. We have Travis as a pastor. We have Larry as a pastor. We have Ken as a pastor. Like, God has plans. I don't know what they are, but I know that probably pretty much every one of you is part of it. I haven't checked my time. Sorry. But anyway, what I would say is, in Jesus' image and in Jesus' heart, he is a fisher of men. And that's what Travis is doing. He wants our hearts. He wants to grow us so that we can find what God's plan is for each one of us. And that's what Peninsula Mission is all about. And I believe that's why we're still growing forward, and we're growing. And people come and people stay. And then some people leave and others come. And it's not ours to say why, but we're here. And I would just say that this church is based on courage, faith, and love. And I just, I know that this church has made a huge difference in my life, and I would like to thank all of you, because although we have all these ministers, each one of us is a minister too. Each one of us has a plan. Each one of us can speak into each other's lives. And I'm just grateful for all of that. Thank you, Travis, for just amazing leadership. Thank you for, I'm hardly shaking at all. So anyway, God has huge plans for this church, and this church means everything to me. And this church really is not about the building. It's about God and all of you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Gail. She mentioned the word encouragement, and one thing this church does stand out as a church that encourages people. And if people you know are out there in the world need to be encouraged, all they need to do is step in here, because there is an abundance of encouragement, and something that I hope will never be lost. Oh, and sorry, Gail, we dropped the N on that. I don't know how that PowerPoint thing worked, but we do believe your name is Robinson.
I'm a work in progress.
You are a work in progress. And Bill would have had me sing the jingle. But we won't. Robinson Sporting Goods. I just had no. He said that in Bill has this running battle with Gail about the original name of the company, but it's Robinson's Outdoor Store, and so we never want to get that wrong. Gail, you're wonderful. So, let's moving into the next part. Two would be watering the seed. You've got a seed that's planted. But now something has to happen, because the seed in the ground is not going to do anything. A seed has to be watered. Why do seeds and plants need water? In what sense do they need water? Well, most of you probably know this. Plants are about 90% water. Do you know that? Plants, about 90% of that plant you're looking at is water. So if you ever get thirsty, just grab that plant and consume it, because you'll get lots of water from it. I had to do some research on what a plant does and why it needs water. I went down to University of California, Santa Barbara, to get this statement. Went a long way to get a very simple statement that they probably learned in grade 2. When a plant is properly hydrated, there is enough water pressure to make the leaves strong and sturdy. When a plant doesn't get enough water, the pressure inside the stems and leaves drops and they wilt. Well, that principle really applies to churches as well. When there's not enough watering, and I'll explain that, then churches begin to wilt. They begin to get heavy. They begin to get slow. They begin to get apathetic. They begin to lose their joy. They begin to lose their energy and desire and passion for ministry and for reaching out to the lost. Sometimes they just become comfortable within themselves. And that comfort is actually something that can destroy our purpose as a church. Because comfort tends to keep us together, but it doesn't do anything to make us grow. And if that was the case of a plant in the ground, that would be detrimental to its future. There's a process of photosynthesis as well, where the leaves are able to... They have these little pores in the leaves, and those pores open up and absorb water, and that water process helps that plant to get going. But also, as those leaves are displayed in the daylight, in the sunshine, it is able to exchange or evaporate that water in the plant and be able to exchange it for carbon dioxide, which it needs, because when that carbon dioxide gets in that plant and it mixes with the remaining water, it creates a sugar that makes the plant grow. So God had all that figured out. Can you believe that? He thought all that through. And he made sure that the elements were all in place to make that happen. And it's happening all the time, 24 hours a day, even though you and I sleep and work, and we walk by those plants and grass and trees all the time, there's something going on all the time that God sustains. But churches, we could ask the same question about. How do you water a church plant? Well, Apollos, if you look at, this is one way you don't water a church plant. This is how not to water a church. So that's a case of overwatering, enthusiasm, too much passion. People just went crazy and just, it must be a charismatic church or something. Just got watered to the point they just drowned. Well, that's not how you water a church. If we look at the scripture, you see Paul writes, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it. He makes a distinction. He didn't say that I hung around and I made sure that it got going. He did, obviously. And for Paul actually to say he planted the seed, meaning he never did anything more, is actually very humble, because Paul, in contributing his teachings and making sure and his prayers were constantly over these different groups that they had started, was obviously somebody who cared deeply like a pastor would. But Apollos seemed to have more of the role of the pastor, of the local pastor. And it was his job to see that that seed begins to develop. And so Paul worked with Apollos, and the two of them made sure that things, you know, went well. How do you water a church plant? That watering would come in the form of, obviously, a pastor. Obviously, somebody like, in this case, Pastor Travis, to help water that seed that was planted as this team came together. But also, greeters, ushers, hospitality workers, care teams, prayer teams, musicians and worship teams, administrators, media production people, bulletin designers, teachers, nursery workers, youth ministers, counselors, small group leaders, and more and more and more. I can't get them all on the one slide. Some of you are up there, not by name, but that's what some of you have been doing for the last year, 2 years, 5 years, maybe even 10 years. You have been serving the Lord in those roles, and you have been watering this seed that was planted. And it always needs water. And without you, this seed would wilt and die. How do you water a church plant? Kathy was there at the beginning, and Kathy and Vern were instrumental in helping that seed get planted. And I've asked Kathy to come along and share what that journey over these last 10 years has been like for this church. And maybe she can give us a few words on that.
Have you ever planted a seed? And the amount of time it takes to watch it grow? That's what we got to see here when it started. I was very fortunate to be a part at the beginning. And to be here 10 years ago and to be here today makes me very excited. The Lord is asking us to all be those wonderful spots that He can water. I like something you said, Larry, about sugar. I like sugar. So the sweetness, if you need a little sweetness, ask the Lord because He'll help you get that watering going, get that movement going. The church is a very important part, I think, of the community. And I hope we are and continuing to do a special part in our community and out into the world. Yes, it is all of us here, right here. We can all do our part. And if you feel that someone else is doing a little more and then we don't need to, or please, we need each and every one of you. And we thank all of you, and I think you all have at some point stepped forward to help us where we are today. Part of our watering is outreach. And I have a outreach slide, if we can pull it. And if not, does it work? I'll start with, we hand out. Oh.
Is there a slide?
I'll let you do it.
No, there's no.
There isn't? No, okay. That's fine. The first one is thrifty cards. I don't know if you're aware, but we have thrifty cards always available so that if people need food, we get to feed them. We help families continually with those. We've helped in the Sydney Lions Food Bank. I don't know if you're aware, but we've done parades in the past, collecting food and cash to help our community thrive in the Sydney Food Bank. We've had food hampers. Again, I'm not sure if you're aware, this last Christmas, we gave out food vouchers, we gave out gas cards, we gave out bus passes. We helped 35 families, 116 people in total for that one outreach. You talk about working with our community. We are all doing this by you tithing. When you think you're $2, $5, $10, $100, it is making this church thrive. Ah, thank you. I'm not going to go through them all because I only have 5 minutes also. But we have a chaplain's ministry. Our own Ken is part of a gentleman that goes and helps those people in the fire department deal with some very hard situations. And he is there to build them up and encourage them. We are also, like he has asked, us to come together on the 16th of November to help with the dinner. Again, an outreach in the community. We have Young Life. We have the Canadian Baptist Western of Canada. We have the Benevolent Fund. With our, and we also have a program, and I'm not sure if you're aware of CARTS, that happens most Sundays. We have two people in the audience, in our congregation, I should say, and that's Troy and Virginia. If you could either, one of you wave or both of you wave, because they asked me to mention again today that they do this on Sunday afternoons. The latest need is it's getting cold out there, as you probably are all aware of. And they need sleeping bags. So if you have any sleeping bags that are just sitting in the back of your closet and they're really not being used, if you could bring them in the next few weeks, that would be great to help some person on the street just have a better sleep. This is what we do in our community. Outside of our community, we do the Bible League, giving Bibles to people all throughout. We've done a project in Haiti, a water project, so people could have fresh water. We've helped, if you were here last week, it was a great service about helping a school in Africa. People are coming forward from all over to help outside of this community. Missions in Fiji. We had our own Marilyn go for weeks, sometimes months, helping out there. And Overseas Mission Fellowship. One last thing, our boxes. I think we're out of them right now, but Dixie has more at home. So the Christmas boxes, those make our children so happy out in another world. They say that those little boxes can change, and I do believe they do change lives. So yes, we are all doing our part. The Lord is watering us, and if you say yes, like we sang earlier, He will continue to water this church and make it grow. I want to finish off with Psalms 145. Verses 8 and 9. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works.
Kathy is so good to work with on the leadership team. She balances us out so well, because where some of us might be holding back, Kathy is full steam ahead. And she often challenges us to step into areas that we're maybe a little shy of or scared of. And Kathy has that kind of faith that every leadership team needs, because it propels us to think outside of the box, and it propels us to never forget that God is concerned about the lowly, about the one who doesn't have opportunity, the one who's needy and suffering and struggling. Whether that be physically or emotionally, Kathy is always there, concerned with others. And her addition to our board just makes us so much better as a team. And I think we'd all applaud her as well. So we have the planting of the seed. We have the watering of the seed. And now we also need to respect the fact that planting and watering is what we could sort of facilitate, but nothing would happen unless God was to make it grow. It seems so entirely simple that process is happening in the background while we think that we're doing everything to make it happen. When in reality, nothing would happen if God hadn't already from the foundations of the world decided this is how things would grow. It's this secret motion that He puts into play that happens without even realizing it. And so when you look at this process back in 1 Corinthians, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, Paul says, but God has been making it grow. And then later, only God who makes things grow. He's really emphasizing that no matter what leader you're looking at, whether himself, whether Apollos, whether Peter, who's also came up in this debate as to who was the better, greatest leader, who is the one who you should follow in their church, in the Corinthian church. And regardless of who the leader was, Paul was saying, look, you don't get the point. God is the one who makes things grow. And if we had done everything we could to plant the seed and to water it, nothing would have happened if He hadn't caused it to grow. There's this spiritual aspect to everything we do as a church. And even though we go through the mechanical side of things, the practical side of things, which we're called to do, nothing would happen if God didn't make it grow. In Mark 4, Jesus says, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. Don't you just love that? All by itself, the soil produces grain. Jesus is making a point here that all by itself is God's plan from the foundation of the world to make it grow. And it's working. And it happens without you ever knowing it. Just like the seeds and the trees and the plants out there are doing their thing right now, and everyone is just walking by them without ever noticing. Well, that happens in church with church plants as well. We don't understand how it's going to happen. We don't even understand what it's going to look like. But we trust that God makes it grow. One note there, though, it doesn't mean that because God makes a church grow, it doesn't mean that we don't do anything. We sit back and we just kind of just keep on praying, God, make it grow. God, just come on, God, you're a little slow. We had a pretty small service last week. Are you really doing this, God? Are you into this? No, God is always into it. It's our part that we do. He does involve us in what he wants to accomplish. We're never leading him. He's always leading us. We're always following him to see what he's doing and not the other way around. If simply stated, if we do what we're called to do, God will bless our efforts with growth, with multiplication, with maturity, with advancement, and even greater opportunities to reach the world for Christ. Well, one of those people who has watched firsthand how God has been growing this church is Vern Fisher. Vern has also been here from the beginning, done a marvelous job of carrying us through our financial stability, making sure that we're not going down too low, and making sure that we've got a plan to grow and a plan to have some security as we move forward. Even though we're a small congregation and we don't have a big overflowing budget, which we might love to have, but yet it's called us, and it's called Vern especially, to be careful of how we move forward. And we really respect and value that. So Vern, would you come and share?
Thank you, Larry. So I'm the practical one of the leadership team, and because I'm part of the toolbox in the sense that I look after the financials. So what I wanted to do today is just give you an overview of where we are financially. And the underlying theme of this, however, is that God has been gracious to us since the beginning. He's honored things that have gone on in this church, the plant of the church, and the continual growth, the outreach. Our budget and revenue has been pretty steady, actually, over the last 10 years, which is kind of interesting because we're not growing dramatically, but we're also, everything that needs to be done is getting funded. And I think that's amazing. So considering that it's a small group, and yet we've been able to do that. So an example of that, 2016, our revenue was $134,000, expenses $140,000. We had a bit of a loss. However, that was intentional. We knew that the money that we put forth last Christmas to the Sydney Christmas Bureau was a significant amount of money to affect 116 people. But as leadership team, felt that was an important investment into our community, and we can afford to do it. So far this year, our revenue up to the end of the month, end of September, is $110,000. Expenses is $105,000. You can see where the balance is. We're ahead by about $4,500. And given we have a budget of about $141,000 this year, I suspect we're right on track to do that. And that's been our story year in and year out. Been kind of, as I said, an amazing story. As far as assets, we always keep about a month worth of expenses in the bank, so I make sure that we have enough cash flow to pay our bills. We have $25,000 over the last 10 years that we've saved. It's sitting in a high-interest savings account. Now, high interest is in italics, is about half, 1%, I think. That money is available to be spent. We're not hoarding it, and it's not a lot of money. But it is we have talked, you know, if there's something that comes up that's required and prayerfully that it's to be spent, then it's to be spent. It's not, you know, but it is a bit of a cushion that we have. And then we have some of the miscellaneous equipment and things like that. So some of our top expense items is, of course, number one is wages. Travis's wages in that, we just didn't say, well, this is how much we're going to pay you. We actually use a grid that's put out by the Canadian Baptists. And so we have a standards on salaries, on benefits, on pensions. So we want to make sure that Travis and his family, and we believe that the last 10 years that God has put that on our heart to make sure that their family's good and that he can continue to grow this church and lead this church. Rent is probably our number two expense. The Seventh-day Adventist organization has been amazing. And this is a beautiful facility. This would cost millions of dollars to build. And we've basically have been able to rent it from them, including some of the special things that we've done at Christmas and stuff like that. They've been incredibly generous to us. And to the point that we haven't had a rent increase in about 9 years. Let's hope there's not. We're very appreciative of, because you see our revenue hasn't changed that much either. So they've been an amazing partnership and an amazing support to this ministry. There's no doubt about it. We also have office space for Travis and Sydney. Outreach is probably the next big line item, as you've seen. And of course, the regular expenses, the weekly and monthly lunches, music and honorariums, and we make sure that Travis keeps up educated in seminars and education. So we do have a process. One of the things that I tend to be like to be process oriented and driven. So before any project or anything's purchased for the church, it's brought up by through the vision committee, and the vision committee will prayerfully consider it. Sometimes it'll take months for them to decide on what they want to do, but that's okay because they're thinking about it and mulling it over. Once they approve it, then that's when we allocate the funds. So there is a very definite process on, and also we're an open church. I mean, we don't hide anything. So if you have ideas or thoughts that you think need to happen, then approach a vision committee member to talk about it, and they'll take that idea forward. Day-to-day expenses are tracked and reviewed monthly, and then categorized. We have Wendy Funk, some of you may know, actually is our bookkeeper and looks after us really well. Once a year, I sit down with our accountant, and we do a review, and we submit a charity tax return yearly. So there is some back checking of what's going on. And every year we file with the CRA to keep our registered charity status. And all of our filings are available online. So if you ever have any questions or concerns, what's going on, even all our who we've given money to, it's all there. It's always published on the web. And I think that's, I like keeping things brief. So is there any questions, and if not, I'm going to be here for lunch, so you can ask me then as well. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Vern. With a steady hand like Vern, and with his background in financial financial advisor, we really are blessed to have someone of his caliber working and serving the Lord in our fellowship here. So. This brings us to our final part, which is producing fruit. Now, not every plant produces fruit, but every plant produces something. That may not be something that you could eat. It might be seeds that you can't eat, and you better not eat, or you get a sore tummy. But every plant produces something, even pollen, so the bees can move that pollen around and multiply and so on. But the fruit-bearing plants are the wonderful plants because something's going to happen. Someone's going to eat that, and someone's going to be nourished, and they're going to get strength in their bodies, and the whole process just keeps on going. All that started in a little seed. And that's the wonderful thing that I'd like to share here this morning, because a church is just, actually, if you looked closer and looked through Scripture, you could find out that the church actually has five components to it, if you look in the New Testament church. And I'll try to run through that briefly right now. Fellowship is one of those components. Discipleship is one of those components. Serving or service is another. Evangelism is another. And worship is the great one. Those five components comprise everything that we do and should be doing as a church as we move forward, as we grow. Now, some churches might really specialize in one particular area. It might be discipleship. It might be teaching people how to grow up in the Lord. And that's wonderful. But if they do it at a loss of the other components, that church probably would become lopsided. It would probably be in a lack of some of these other areas. For instance, if everybody was just getting taught, everybody was just wanting to come to Bible studies and wanting to sit beneath the pastor's sermon and so on and taking notes, that would be great. But if everybody just went home afterwards and just waited for the next opportunity when that was going to happen, that wouldn't be so great. That's where service comes in. So service is like, what gifts and talents and abilities has God given you that you could serve him through the church? Because God has given us abilities. He's called us with particular giftings to be able to serve him, but it's usually and almost always through the local church. Then there's evangelism. What would happen if we were a discipleship church, for example, or just learning and learning and learning, but we were never reaching out to anyone? We didn't really care if someone was on the outside. We were quite happy where we were. That wouldn't be a good church. And then there's worship. Worship is a part of coming together to lift our hearts and minds and our thoughts to God. But worship is so much more involved in that. We have a worship team, but sometimes we narrow worship to being music. But really, worship is all that we do to celebrate who God is. And I really think, as Paul writes in the New Testament, people coming into their services and hearing the things that were happening in the church, many people got saved just because of that, because of the joy and the exuberance and the passion that people have to love God. He seemed so much more real to them when that happened. So those are the five components of the church. Sometimes we could think of them in a different way. We could think of fellowship as family. We could think of discipleship as foundation. We could think of service as our function. We could think of evangelism or outreach as our focus, never losing that focus. And force as worship. So those are five components. Now, what would it look like, or what will it look like as we move forward at PMCC? Well, here's a few thoughts that we have that we're working on and that we're trying to move forward. In fellowship, in the component of fellowship, we will be launching a ministry, and I probably won't say all this inclusively, but we'll be launching a ministry called Mountaineers, which will be engaging the seniors under Annabelle's leadership. Annabelle's been so generous to bring this to us, something that she has lots of experience with, and wants to implement through this ministry, as well as the Seventh-day Adventists join us, and being so generous to be able to afford us the use of the fellowship hall here for this. But having luncheons once a month, as we call people, seniors, together, to be able to hear the Word of God spoken, hear special speakers speaking on particular topics, but generally getting together and meeting people for the sake of fellowship and the hope of drawing others into church. And so I really am looking forward to that. So excited. Our leadership team are so far 150% behind Annabelle, and we're just so excited about that. And that's supposed to be launching in, I believe, in January. December, so we did move it up. Okay, the first one in December. But there's also, within the fellowship, we have Jim McKissick, who's come forward and wanted to develop a men's ministry in our church. That's going to be wonderful. That's going to be an opportunity for guys to get together and find out what being a man of God is really about. Jim, thank you for coming forward and just expressing that God's put that on your heart, because that is part of what God does in the body of Christ. Care teams. There's a new ministry beginning in January over at Stanishan Bible Fellowship, where they're teaching people how to be caregivers to seniors, whether in different areas, whether that be emotional or physical. And those groups that will, that group that will be starting over there will be able to teach groups here so that we can do ministry and really remove some of the burden from the from Pastor Travis, who carries a lot of it, if not all of it. We're looking forward to having some of that develop. Dinner for Eight, we've done Dinner for Eight before. But Dinner for Eight is a great time for fellowship, to be able to meet people in your homes, to be able to have a meal for eight people and share what God is doing in your life. We look at fellowship, or we look at, that's fellowship, we look at foundation or discipleship, love and respect. Love and respect is a program I've wanted to get started here. It's about a 7 or 8 week program where marriages come, people come together, and we watch a video, but then discuss it and be able to grow from that. It's a wonderful video that's been around for several years, it's wonderful teaching, but it really gets us to be able to focus on things and how we can strengthen our marriages. Apologetics. We had an apologetics class a few years ago. We're going to try to do another one. A great Bible study at Pastor Travis's this past few past month or so. We're going to try to do another one of those. Prayer seminar. We need something to do with that. Function. Function is the service part of our ministry. Small group leadership. We would like to be able to put people into places where they can lead groups, teach them how to lead groups. We have the idea of, we have aspects of worship arts and media ministry that always needs people to come alongside and help. That's PowerPoint, that's sound systems, that's worship teams, and so on. We have areas where you can serve and use your gifts and talents in areas like the prayer chain, the greeters ministry, and website and directory administration, and a new term, a GEC. A guest experience coordinator. I actually stole that term from somebody else, but a guest experience coordinator, someone or a few people that are assigned to be able to touch base with new people. And some of you might be new here this morning. How would you like it if someone came up to you after the service and just asked you how you felt, how things went for you this morning, and what else we could do? Maybe get your name and phone number so we could contact you, or you could contact us so you know who to get in touch with. I mean, there are people in churches today that come in the front door and leave in the back door the same service because no one ever touched base with them. And sometimes we all get involved in conversations, and it's understandable, but we really need to reach out and having people assigned to that. Then there's evangelism. Evangelism, we are looking forward to doing one of the greatest events of this ministry, the Essential Services Appreciation Dinner that Ken is going to be leading and directing, and we're so excited to be part of that, Ken, that you involved us as a church, and that's really a benefit and a blessing to us to be able to be a part of touching lives that serve our community, the police and the fire. And then there's an outreach service in Sydney that we're planning for the summer of next year, where we're going to actually meet in Sydney at the pavilion there, and we're going to have some kind of a service. We're going to do something. We're going to have worship. We're going to have praise. We're going to have singing. We're going to have people speaking. It's going to be great. We haven't formulated all the details, but as someone you know says, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. Really great. Bill does that so much better. And then worship. A special evening of worship would be wonderful. We get together for so many things. How about if we just got together for just worship? Just worshiping and praising the Lord. That's just something that is just bursting out, and I'm sure all of you would love to be involved with that. Well, sorry I took so long on that. I wanted to kind of paint a picture of where we'd like to go in the future as this seed and begins to grow and even further. There's this verse that says, "But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop." We are experiencing some of that crop here today after 10 years, and we're so thankful to the Lord for it. But the good heart, those who hear the word, retain it, and persevere, you know, that really describes many of you if you've moved through and stuck through some difficult times this past 10 years or however long you've been here, and you've moved through. I don't want to point out anybody specific because then it would mean I'm leaving somebody else out. But you've all done a great deal to be able to make sure that this church moves forward. The leadership team have done wonderful things as we've moved forward. We've met together regularly. We've churned through some areas we find difficult, but God has always been with us to help us develop and plan for a future that he has prepared for us. One of the people, though, that stands out, obviously, above it all, someone who's had a noble and good heart, who hears the word, retains it, and by persevering, really persevering, through some of the things that he's gone through to produce a crop, is Pastor Travis. And he's a man that we so respect, and, you know, we follow the Lord, but it's so wonderful to have a man that is an under-shepherd that we can see as Christ reflects his life through this man, that it becomes easier as a leader to see what Jesus is like. And we are so thankful that we get to work with a man like this. He's gifted of God, and we're so blessed to have someone like him. At this point, I'd like to ask Ken to come and do a summary of all that I've said, not everything I've said, but everything here, so be able to give us a focus back onto where God has taken us. Thank you, Ken.
Hello, everybody. Good morning. And it's a great opportunity to just have an opportunity to spend some time with the vision team here. You've heard us call different things, leadership team, vision team. But we see ourselves as the group that the Lord has drawn together to really just provide some leadership under the Lord's direction, under his leading, to help facilitate and support our pastor, and really just to serve all of you folks who we love dearly and take it very, very seriously what we do. And you know, there's a couple in the congregation this morning that I did just want to mention, because they also were part of this initial team right from day one. My lovely wife Marie was one of the very first in our core group when Peninsula Mission got started, and also Cheryl and Tony Stipkala. You guys just wave over there, all of you, three of you. Yeah, so thank you very much. We've had, you know, some people come on and come off due to life, you know, things happen in life and get busy and what have you, but those people were key. And of course, Trav and Dixie were instrumental. Trav's vision the courage to really step out of where he'd been through a very difficult time and to seek the Lord's leading and then actually act on that and to step out and take this this small plant and lead and nurture and guide us. And he'd be the first one to say that it's all of the Lord, but the Lord has definitely used a very strong, capable, compassionate, loving man to bring us here today. So we just really appreciate the opportunity of changing things up a little bit, just to explain where we've been and where we're going. So I just want to offer a couple of remarks, and I know time's moving on, so I will keep them brief. Of course, some of the main responsibilities of your team is praying, considering, and planning for the future. That's what we're all about. We never want to stand still or rest on our past successes and blessings of the Lord. He's been amazing. You heard about the finances, and from a business point of view, we shouldn't be here. It's just incredible the way that the Lord has faithfully provided all of the means through the generous, loving giving of the congregation here, and how the Lord's multiplied that, and we continue to be able to offer outreach and support our pastor and his family. From the inside, over the last 10 years, it continues to amaze myself and I think all of our team here, just the goodness of God. And as your church leadership, our heartfelt desire is to honor God, and we want to seek his will in the direction that he leads us in all ministries and affairs of the church. We strive to be true to our calling, and as our motto states, faith in motion. And a lot of these ministries and outreaches and where the church has gone over the last 10 years, I think really speaks to being true to our motto. And Trav has been instrumental in that and always encouraging and pushing and getting us to stretch ourselves. And Larry talked about out of our comfort zone. We've got great vision team members that, yeah, get us out of the comfort zone a lot of the times. So in saying that, we do constantly assess our ministries and outreach opportunities, and we always want to ensure that we're being effective, and we keep them all prayerfully in mind. And there are times where we do see the leading of the Lord to complete or close one outreach because another opportunity comes along that we feel he's leading us into, so we're very sensitive to that. Of course, finances and administrative affairs of the church are also one of our main responsibilities. Although we're a work of the Lord, we do have to complete all of the government requirements for filings and being a charitable organization, that type of thing. But we always strive to manage these with integrity and good stewardship. And again, it speaks to a man like Vern on our board that really has a finger on the pulse when it comes to our financial aspects, which is really a huge responsibility that we hold. And of course, we constantly rely on the Lord's guidance and wisdom in all of the things that we do. But one of our main responsibilities, and arguably the most important one outside of the ministry and welfare and of the church, is really the support of our senior pastor and his family. And as most of you are aware, and some of you who are here maybe for the first time may not be, and you've heard it mentioned today, that we've just completed 10 years of ministry here at Peninsula Mission Community Church. 10 years, that's a long time. And we've seen the Lord's faithful blessing and guidance over these past years under the faithful love, leadership, and care of Pastor Travis and his wife, Dixie. And those of you who know Travis and have sat under his teaching or under his teaching or experienced his care know that he passionately ministers selflessly, day in, day out, 24/7, and unless actually on vacation, and even that for him is never 100% true. Pretty much every day of the year, if there is a need, Pastor Trav and Dixie supporting him have always been right there to offer support. And our pastor, as you know then, is far more than just the preacher on a Sunday morning, and we love Trav's teaching. He's very true to the word and isn't afraid, if you were here last Sunday, isn't afraid to preach what the Lord lays on his heart to preach. And that in itself, that preparation, takes on many, many hours of preparation. But outside of that, which is, again is a huge commitment, Travis is constantly involved in visitation, counseling, those inside and outside of the church, discipling, mentoring, supporting, building relationships, and on and on and on, just to name a few, have responsibilities. Trav is a 100%, 150% full-time committed believer in spreading the faith and spreading the good news in so many ways. Now, we all know and understand that the pastor should not be the reason that we come to a particular church or not. I mean, we all know that. But in reality, as the leader of a local congregation, the pastor is a major influence. That pastor can be the main contact and often the face of the church. And you remember from last week's bulletin, Trav was actually physically the face of the church on the bulletin. But the pastor really plays such a key role in relationship building and support. They're a very key person. So in a sense, we see Pastor Travis as being a crucial or the crucial resource or asset of our church here at PMCC. We talked about different assets, computers and what have you, but we see Pastor Travis as being our crucial resource here. And as your leadership, we see it as our responsibility to ensure that he's protected, nurtured, and supported. And we want to care for this precious and important resource on your behalf and to be obedient to the Lord. We see that as being one of our principal responsibilities as part of the vision team. Now, we've already mentioned that PMCC has just finished 10 years of ministry, but prior to this, Travis has continued to serve in ministry for over 25 years prior to PMCC. So when you look at this loving man here and his wonderful wife, our pastor's been in continuous ministry for 35 years. That's amazing, and we're blessed to have you continue to minister to us, Trav. Now, early in May, your vision team readily recognized that this is a considerable length of time of continuous ministry. And in wishing to maintain the longevity of our most important resource, took steps to investigate how we could best support, preserve, and effectively care for Pastor Travis and his desire for continued ministry into the future. In other words, we looked at all of his past work history, all the energy and the life that he's poured into ministry over 10 years here and 25 elsewhere. And talking with Trav about his desire, where do you see your future? He would like to continue to serve. So we felt it was our responsibility to research, well, how can we best ensure that we support our pastor moving forward? And this morning, our theme is centered around God making it grow. And I really appreciate, Larry, the way you structured that and let the Lord lead you in bringing that message to us this morning. It's been really wonderful. But we talked about planting and watering and growing of the seed. And another very important aspect of healthy plant growth, and I think Larry touched on this, involves strong, robust, and nutritious soil. And only soil that is alive with healthy microorganisms and full of nutrients can produce healthy crops. It's just a fact of farming. And farmers have found that they cannot continuously sow and reap, crops year after year without giving the soil time to rest, to restore, and to recover. Even with addition of fertilizers, after an extended period of time, the field can become tired, need rejuvenation, or it cannot continue to productively produce. Leviticus 25:3 says this in verses 3 and 4. 6 years you shall sow your field, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather in its crops. But during the seventh year, the land shall have a Sabbath rest, a Sabbath to the Lord. You shall not sow your field nor prune your vineyard. So in our investigation and research, the vision team learned that on average, churches provide their senior pastor with a 4 to 6 month paid sabbatical or paid leave every 7 years of continuous ministry. Every 7 years. What did I say? 35 years. A sabbatical will protect against burnout and facilitate the overall health and wellness of the pastor, promoting longevity, energy, and passion. We also did a little investigating, well, what is a sabbatical? And we learned that a pastoral sabbatical is distinctive from any other type of profession. So, for example, a sabbatical for an academic, you know, a professor, something like that, is one thing. It may include time to rest, but mainly it is time for developing new courses or redeveloping old ones, redeveloping new areas of knowledge, that type of thing. A sabbatical for a corporate executive, a banker, a CEO, for example, would be quite different again. It might include time to reconnect with neglected family, time to develop new leadership skills, that type of thing. But a sabbatical for a pastor is something else again. A pastor is above all an authentic spiritual leader who has a number of specific tasks and roles, and many that aren't very specific at all. But the underlying one of all of them is his role as a spiritual leader. So what does a sabbatical for a spiritual leader look like? And here's just a few ideas. It will include components which permit time for reflection, for rekindling the spirit and the sense of calling of God, for reconnecting more deeply with the tradition, with scripture and theology, for renewing a sensitivity to the Word of God and the working of the Holy Spirit. It'll include deepening one's own spiritual life, perspective, and thanksgiving, time for taking stock, for evaluation, reflection, and for rededication, time for personal study and devotion. And it must also include time away for rest and relaxation, time with family, or time alone. And we've come to believe, as we've talked about it with the vision team, that really we strongly believe that a sabbatical is really our privilege and our opportunity to offer thanksgiving, appreciation, and love to our long-serving pastor and his wife. So in saying all of that and as kind of summarizing where we've gone this morning, we really just want to introduce to you that we, as your vision team, have come to a point of decision where we are offering a paid sabbatical to Pastor Travis and Dixie effective January 1st to June 30th, 2018. So the first 6 months of next year. And we've been working very, very diligently as a team and with Travis as well on arranging and scheduling for pulpit preachers, people that will be preaching. We're also working at having good backup resources for any crises that may be happening in the church family. And of course, that's all going to be backstopped by your vision team here. We also will be stepping forward and fulfilling some of those roles. As you see, our whole intent is not just to sit back and wait out the 6 months without forward vision, without continuing on the work that the Lord has for us and some of the vision and planning that we're laying out, as Pastor Larry mentioned this morning. We're looking at moving forward and just continuing to serve the Lord and keeping PMCC vibrant and active. Now, our planning is still in process. We still have a few months out from when this takes place. But as your vision team, we want to assure you that this has been a long-term planning process. We've spent much time in prayer, much time in research and dialoguing with some of the other ministerial resources that we're going to be tapping into. And we're confident that this is where the Lord is moving us. We're confident that this is the step that we need to take to support and encourage and maintain our senior pastor for future ministry. It's his desire to do that, and it's our desire to support him. But we also see that this is the Lord, again, pushing us outside of our comfort zone. All of us collectively, all of us will find this is a period of growth, a period of excitement, a period of really deepening our faith in the leadership of the Lord in our church here at Peninsula Mission. So thank you, everyone, for that.
Ken is our moderator of our leadership team. We get together. Ken helps us to stay on target with those meetings. But Ken does so much behind the scenes. He's constantly preparing things, organizing things for this church. It's just he's a real credit to the Lord, and we're honored to work with him as well. As well as being a fire chaplain, so he carries those responsibilities as well as being the moderator with our church. And often you'll get a call from Ken. My mom was going to go in the hospital for a surgery, and she got a call from Ken. They didn't know who he was, but he was a Gill. So they thought, well, he must be okay, so we're not related.